Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Let's go. Keith McPherson on the Fan. KM to AM, I call this. 2 hours to go in the five-hour show. We talk sports, but every once in a while, being a solo host, I might veer off. I'll get back, though. The sports are sportsing. It's the most wonderful time. The Knicks are up 2-0 on the Celtics. The Mets are coming home. The Yankees snatched a series win out of a, you know, situation where they should have swept. But either way, how they did it with a walk-off was great. And now they go out west, and we expect them to handle the A's, and we expect the Mets to handle the Cubs, and then they'll meet in the Subway Series a week from tomorrow. Let's go. Back to the phones we go. Jack is in Hackettstown, New Jersey. Hello, Jack.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Good.
Awesome, man. Hey, listen, first time caller, first time listener, actually, to KM to the AM. So 2 points I wanted to talk to you. So I'm trying to get into like broadcasting and stuff like that. And I just wanted to say, because I'm going to make this real quick. The way that you handled that guy an hour ago, as a guy who wants to get into the business, you handled it awesome. Because I'm telling you right now, there would have been a little bit more profanity on my end.
Yeah.
I couldn't even say
what I really wanted to say, but I'd love to meet Matt in person and have the conversation. I just never have those type of conversations with anyone in reality. Like, those are like internet conversations. Once in a while I get a call like that, but everybody I ever see at the stadium or out somewhere at an event, everyone's so nice. I never get any type of smoke like that when they see me in real life. I wonder why. I wonder why.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you're not talking to somebody to their face, everybody thinks that they can get away with a lot more stuff. It's the same on Twitter. It's
correct.
The same on socials.
And I'm a nice guy, but, like, I don't think anybody's going to really approach me like that, because there will be different repercussions if you approach me like that.
Oh, exactly. So, yeah, just wanted to get that by. So what I wanted to talk about. So my main man, the big deal, Jeff McNeil. Not really been playing like the big deal since he came back to the Mets. Now, I was really excited for him to come back. I've been calling him that for a few years now. I've always been kind of a low-key Jeff McNeil guy. I like Beatty too, but obviously Beatty's been had his struggles early in the season. I feel like the Mets were kind of winning in spite of his kind of shortcomings as far as you know, kind of fielding and obviously with the batting. But besides the Washington series, I haven't really been seeing a lot out of McNeil that I'd really like to. So, you know, with the Subway Series coming up, I was just wondering, you know, in your opinion, I know you're a Yankees guy. I've really only started getting back into baseball this year because obviously, you know, with the Soto deal and everything, it's a great time to be a Mets fan. So do you think that McNeil might be a detriment? Because, like, I mean, I know he's only had maybe a hit or two. He only had one hit against the Diamondbacks, one hit against the Cardinals. So do you think that he might, I know it's still early, but you think he's going to bounce back, maybe, you know, kind of contribute a little bit more to this team?
Yes, I do. Thanks for the call, Jack, and good luck pursuing your dreams to be in broadcasting, in media. You could do it, but nobody's going to do it for you. With Jeff McNeil, he's had 35 at-bats. With Jeff McNeil, he has contributed, and I look at McNeil, the flying squirrel, happy Jeff, as a guy that's a veteran. He's a part of the fabric of this team. I know there are some Met fans that can't stand him, that don't want him here, think that he's like actually taking up space. But I think, you know, he's going to do more good than bad. I know he had the triple that I saw the other day, but then he also had a couple strikeouts. I mean, it's tough for him to live up to the batting title he had a few years ago. But his contract isn't anything crazy. I just think that there's enough good players and good hitters on this team that, like, Jeff McNeil kind of just, you know, fills in the blanks here and there. And you shouldn't be so worried about Jeff McNeil. And give him some time, yes. Give him some time. 35 at-bats, 8 hits, 1 homer, 5 ribbies. He's batting .229, .711 OPS. Just give Jeff McNeil some time to impress you, to wow you. Maybe that comes up this weekend against the Cubs. But like I said, I know there are fans where it's like, you know, Brett Beatty is here. Ronald Acuna is here. Ronald Acuna. Luis Angel Acuna, brother of Ronald Acuna. Mark Vientos. And it's like, you know, we don't need this guy. But I think you do. You do in that outfield and that infield. When his bat picks up, you're going to be happy you have it. And he's a veteran, a part of this clubhouse, a guy that they're going to give opportunities to. So much so that they didn't bring back Candelita, Jose Iglesias. Jose Iglesias was just in New York with the Yankees, and he didn't do anything that really impressed me too much. Maybe David Stearns was right. You know what impressed me? And actually, I meant to text DJ Jay Jung. I'm actually going to text him now. The Yankees trolled Jose Iglesias, and when he got out, I think I saw Disha Thosar put on Twitter that they trolled him by playing OMG, the Usher song. We'll have to set that up for the next rejoin, OMG by Usher. And I'm like, that was so well played. I wasn't at that game. I'm like, I wish I was there to hear that. 888-808-1019. Cliff is in Parsippany on the Fan next. Go for it, Cliff.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. I'm a Volpe fan. You know, played local, kind of where I live. Yankee lover. But there's a thing in the Post. I'm not sure if it's, I believe it's Post. About this 19-year-old prospect that they have, that they say he's bigger, stronger, just an all-round, like, beast of an athlete. And so how long do you stick with Volpe? You know, if he's not hitting, he's had some errors as of late. Like, how patient? I know they love the kid, but there's only so long you can wait, I would think. Right, especially if you had this strong prospect, maybe give him like another year.
What are we waiting for with Volpe? You're just saying like he hasn't been good enough, and like if he's.
Well, I just think his hitting's not consistent. Striking out a bunch. I mean, I love the stealing. You know, when he gets on base, and he's definitely talented in the field, although he's had some pretty bad errors. So how long? I mean, what? I guess I would think his batting average, you know, they would hope to be higher.
He's got the same batting average as Jeff McNeil. I think he's got a longer rope and leash than people want or people realize. I don't think George Lombard Jr. is coming up as soon as people think or realize. But obviously we saw him in spring training and he's ascending pretty fast. He's with the Somerset Patriots looking like, it, you know, it's not too much of a jump for him to, you know, play there. Shout out to the Somerset Patriots. I'll be there real soon. Appreciate them reaching out. And appreciate the call, Cliff. You know, I feel like, obviously, Volpe has struggled with the errors, the strikeouts. But I feel like he doesn't get credit for any of the good, right? What was it? It was like a couple weeks ago, he was struggling and people were saying he should get a day off and they need to rest him. And I actually bet on him. He actually made me some money because I just knew. I'm like, he's going to get some days off. Let me go back to the Yankees. I think it was with the Camden Yards series. I'm like, they're not gonna take their starting shortstop out of the lineup. One, they need his glove. Whether you think he has too many errors or makes too many mistakes, he also makes some really good plays. He does have a gold glove. they're not going to take him out. And then, like, his bat, yes, he's got to be more consistent at the plate, but sometimes he has stretches of hitting the ball hard and having good at-bats and hitting home runs. So, yeah, it was when I think it was when there was the travel day and then the Blue Jays series, and then the Yankees postponed the game on the 26th thinking it was going to rain, and it didn't. And then Volpe played well in that series, and then he did his thing in Baltimore a little bit too. I just think we also act like this guy is 30. He just turned 24 on the 28th. It sucks because they're always going to put him in a bucket with Bobby Witt Jr. and Gunnar Henderson. And also like Corbin Carroll and I think CJ Abrams, because they all played for Team USA. They're all like the same age or whatever. But I don't think that they're in a rush to get rid of him or replace him. And I think we just got to be patient. I feel like people have already forgotten what he did in the postseason. I feel like people have already forgotten how he started this season. And he's a young guy working on figuring it out. Yes, there's still more to be desired, but he's a young player, right? I think he's got at least another 2 years as a Yankee shortstop. I think George Lombard probably has another 2 years. I don't think he's coming up this year. I know some people think he's on the fast track. Maybe next year we see him late in the year. But you know they got to manipulate service time and all that as well. 888-808-1019. Rob is in Jackson Heights. What's up, Rob?
Hey, what's going on, Keith? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Just wanted to say something about the Knicks and the fans. Let me ask you a question. You have a lady, right?
I have a wife, yes.
Okay, great. So if she treated you terrible for 3 straight weeks, and then one day she decides to be really nice to you, how would you react?
I'd be like, finally, what did I do? Actually, I'd be a little suspicious. I'd be like, "What? Like, what's going on? What did I accidentally do that changed your mood?"
Okay, not really where I thought it was going, but I'm very upset. I'm very upset with the Knicks fans because this franchise has been trash for 20-plus years. The second we're decent, and everyone's just going to act like the last 20 years didn't just happen. We should.
Those things are directly connected, though. You realize that. Let me try and think of the analogy. The analogy is like, is the dude that for 20 years can't pull a girl, and now he's been pulling some chicks for a couple years. Now he's Deuce Bigelow. Now he's the man, you know. He's not used to this. Now he's freaking out about, like, how many girls he's attracting because, you know, he was in the woods for 20 years.
No, I got you. I just feel like the Knicks fans should just not show up to the Garden. Like, if we win the championship this year.
What? Call back, baby. Maybe call C-Mac later. Try that again. Don't show up to the Garden. Do you understand? Like, and I look at a lot of these young Knicks fans in the city, bro, and I'm so happy for them. That's another reason why I'm not going to be an old crab-ass hater Net fan for these young kids that are leaving their apartments and taking the train to 7th Ave and going to these watch parties and being around other Knicks fans, because growing up, they did not have this. And now is their time to party in the streets, to be consistently in the playoffs. When April and May come around every year, now it's a yearly thing. And this third year of Jalen Brunson and this team, they're feeling like, hey, we might actually be going to the finals, the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, don't show up to the Garden. What? Everybody should be around the Garden. Even if you can't get in for $600, $700, $800, whatever it is, you should just be out in the street. They're going to have to shut the road down over there. Stay down till you come up. Who told you that from day one? If you're a fan and you're loyal and you've gone through the mud and now you're shining, now you're coming out clean, now the whole NBA world is giving you respect, now the whole sports world is looking at you, talking about you, now these Knicks fan videos from outside the Garden are going viral, good. Enjoy it. Let people enjoy things. Not even show up to the Garden. That don't make any sense. Go camp out now. 888-808-1019. Like, this stuff is rare. This stuff is rare. Enjoy it while it's here, and don't let anybody rain on your parade. And the past is the past. Like, we just had Adam Himmelsbach on talking about how, you know, the Celtics have won 18 championships with Bill Russell and them. Like, chill, bro.
chill. These Celtics won a championship last year that people don't really like, and it's not a Mickey Mouse championship, but right now people are poking holes in it. You can't lean on what Paul Pierce and KG did. You can't lean on what Larry Bird did. I know what the Knicks did with those banners hanging above their heads. They brought their Tims into the parquet floors. They stomped on Lucky's head, and there was nothing you could do about it. They gave you the same game back-to-back. They left 2-0. Kendrick Perkins said, the Knicks are being very disrespectful. He said, you invite them over to your house, you tell them take their shoes off. They did not take their shoes off. They walked in your shoes they walked in there with not even shoes, some dirty ass Tims. You told them take the shoes off and don't sit on my couch. Sit on your couch. They kicked their feet up on the couch. So what are you gonna do about it? We here. And you thought you had them. And they say, you know, I'm gonna go in the fridge, get a Bev. I'm gonna go and take your phone, order DoorDash here. You know what? I'm not even staying for the DoorDash. I'm gonna use the bathroom and leave. And that's what the Knicks did in two games with the Boston Celtics. Now they get to come home. Now they get to come home to their fans and like hella celebrity fans and all of the Knicks greats. It is going to be a festival for Knicks fans on Saturday at 3:30. How can you hate on that? How can you say not to show up? How can you tell people to not enjoy that? There are people going with their grandfathers, their dads, their brothers, their uncles, their moms, their grandmoms, their sisters. Like, they're all Knicks fans. They're all New Yorkers or New Jersey or Connecticut or Pennsylvania or wherever. Like, I don't know. That's how I see it. That's the type of time I'm on. Gary in Jersey City on the fan next. What's up, Gary?
Hey, Keith. How are you? Thanks for allowing me the phone call. First, let me say I really appreciate the approach that you take on the fan. It's a breath of fresh air. I like your bluntness. I like your honesty. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Also regarding the Knicks, the success they've been having this year, I think you're pulling on the exact right thread when it comes to the Celtics and these injuries and lasting injuries, not just for their stars, but for a lot of their support players and a lot of the behind the scenes players. They're super injured, and I think that's a real issue as far as their ability to play in the fourth quarter. I think you can kind of draw an analogy and create an analogy between the Knicks last year and the Celtics this year. As far as I think the Knicks were definitely banged up last year, but they also got to a place that they were trying to get to, and they kind of took a breath and said, hey, we're here. Anything from here on here is kind of gravy. And the analogy that I could draw is the Celtics have won a championship. They're banged up this year. They might not have the same kind of fire that they had last year to try and get that championship, knowing that they already got over the hump. So I really think there's an analogy that could be drawn between these two teams, and I think the Knicks are a hungrier team. And you can forget about these 20-point deficits. It's all about the fourth quarter, and you could just tell these Celtics are just dead on their feet in the fourth quarter. I mean, 14, 15 shots in a row, and most of them are clanking off the rim. They're not even close. I really think that they're dead and buried, and yeah. I hope that's the case.
Thanks for the call, Gary. The only thing I disagree with, the phrase that you said about, like, for the Knicks, everything else from here, like whatever happens, is gravy. No. Because the whole thread of my opening show tonight is the Knicks have to win the series now. It will not be gravy if they lose the next four games. But I don't think they're losing the next four games because, like you said, right? You know, I think Rami was producing my show maybe Monday night. And we were talking through the things. And Rami is a Knicks fan. And I'm like, you know, like I don't know how we got to it. But I'm like, the only way I see the Knicks winning games or potentially even taking the series is if the Celtics are hurt and they start feeling sorry for themselves and they're not at 100% and they're licking their wounds and then the physical becomes mental. And here we are. Here we are. I didn't think it was going to be this bad because I did not think they were going to shoot this bad. Even hurt, I didn't think they were going to shoot this bad and then keep shooting. Again, fatigue makes a coward of us all, physically and mentally. And yes, they did win a championship last year. It's hard to go back to back. So maybe that thought creeps into their head, right? Damn, we're struggling here with the Knicks. We still would have the Eastern Conference Finals after this. and the finals after this to repeat? I don't know if I can make it. Legs getting heavy, getting tired. I need a rest. These Knicks, they're ready to go. Mikal Bridges, Iron Man, he'll play 51 minutes. 888-808-1019. I don't know how many minutes I got left. We're running out of time. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Let's get back into it. I'm just taking calls the rest of the way. I like to take calls. It's just me. I'm Dolo. I told the dude that called. I said I'm Dolo. He didn't know what I was talking about. I'm solo. It's just me. It's a solo act. It's just me and the mic here. Connor behind the board is doing a great job, as always. But yeah, call 888-808-1019, and we can talk about whatever's on your mind one time. That'd be fine. Bars. Dun, 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 dun. Let's go to Florida. We got Florida on the line. So let's go to Mike from Palm Coast and see what he's thinking about.
Hey, Keith. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for calling.
All right. All right. I want to throw a trade proposition at you and see what you think about it. But I just wanted to tell you, I listen to your show all the time, even if I have to listen on audio, the replay. Because you talk like a fan. You don't talk like any of these other guys that think they know everything.
I'm a fan. I think a lot of times, Mike, I say, I'm like, I've only been hosting for 4 years. I'm still learning the tricks of the trade and the profession and like the ins and outs of being a radio host. I am a fan. I'm talking to you guys the same way I talk to everybody in the stadium and the bar.
That's the thing, though. You talk to us like, you know, you're talking to a friend. It's not like these other guys that know it all. But let me throw this trade proposition at you, Suge. I know you're a Yankee fan. I love Rice, but I think because of his success right now, and the Yankees got a glitch of left-handed hitters, and there's nowhere for him to play. I mean, you know, Stanton's going to come back. Chisholm's going to come back. You got Wells locked in at catcher. You got Goldie locked in at first, and he's coming back next year. This is in his farewell year. There's nowhere for this guy to play. Stanton coming back, DH. It's obvious there's nowhere for him to play. He's hot right now. And Sandy Alcantara, who everyone knows is a superstar. I know he's doing horrible right now, but that's, you know, he's going to come around. But maybe he's a little diminished right now as far as his ask. I'd send Rice to the Marlins, give him Warren, give him Yorbit Vivas, give him Peraza. Even, you know what? I may even throw Spencer Jones in the deal. I want Sandy Alcantara. Can you imagine the rotation that we would have this year and next year when we get Cole back, we get Hill back in July? I think that's the way to do it. I mean, you're not going to have any future with Rice. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I'm already too attached to Benny Blanco Arroz. I can't. I'm not getting rid of Ben Rice. I'm not.
You have to give to get.
I know you have to give to get, but didn't you just throw them Will Warren and Yorbit Vivas? And like, I can't get rid of Ben Rice. I see Ben Rice as a guy just coming into his own.
What about Jones in the deal too? Rice and Jones.
There's no room for Spencer Jones. So yeah, send Spencer Jones.
Exactly.
I think Trent Grisham's going to want to hang around a little longer. Jason Dominguez is going to be here for a while.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. These guys are blocked. And I think that to get the caliber of pitcher like Alcantara, I mean, this is, you can't let your rivals get him. I mean, you can't let Baltimore or Boston or Toronto get him. I mean, the Yankees, I think this is the right time to do it. I love Rice. I don't want to lose him. I really want to see Jones, but I would do it. They got the goods, the Yankees, to do it. And I think more so than any other team.
I hear you.
Now's the time to act.
I hear you, Mike. Thanks for the call. It's not a bad thought, but I think it's an early thought to have on May 8th. I don't think Sandy Alcantara will be traded until the deadline. I think there's going to be a lot of suitors. Shout out to my boy Ben, who always is sending me notes. He sent a note earlier about how MLB executives have voted Sandy Alcantara as the most likely player to be traded at the deadline. It's no secret that if you're looking for an ace, he's going to be at the top of the market. I don't expect the Baltimore Orioles to be in it. I don't expect them to be making a trade. I don't expect them to be postseason bound. The Blue Jays, maybe. So I understand the thought of like keeping them away from your rivals. But you know what? There was also an article that I came across today. I didn't read it. I put it in my notes. And so we don't really have to read it. Like, you can just read the headline and think about it. But after the Padres leave town and we just beat Michael King with Clark Schmidt on the mound, there was an article that popped up about Michael King potentially reuniting with the Yankees. Padres right-handed pitcher Michael King will enter free agency this offseason, and a reunion with the New York Yankees isn't out of the question. The guy grew up a Yankee fan in Boston, I believe. And, of course, if the Yankees want to pay him, he'll come back. But then it made me think about what the Yankees currently have and will have. They have Max Fried. They have Carlos Rodon. They have Clark Schmidt. Luis Gil is supposed to return next month. And then if you add King to that, and then Sandy Alcantara, or the order would be Sandy Alcantara, who I think is under control for the next couple years, and Michael King in free agency. I guess that would negate Michael King. You wouldn't add Michael King in free agency if you have Sandy Alcantara, because you have Gerrit Cole coming back at the end of next year. Sounds like great problems to have for the Yankees. Those aren't the problems we have right now. 888-808-1019. I'm not trading Ben Rice for a few reasons. Yes, Paul Goldschmidt has been great this year, but he's on a one-year deal, and who knows what his market's going to look like next year, and who knows what Father Time is going to do to him next year. Maybe he does not have the same year. Maybe he does start to regress. I don't know. Ben Rice could be your left-handed power bat at first base of the future. I'm not letting that kid go. He's already shown me he could do it. He's already shown me that he could just DH. You know how hard it is for guys to just DH? Look at Rafael Devers. He had a hard time this year to start off the season as just a DH. He's still having a hard time. Rafael Devers told reporters today that Craig Breslow approached him about playing first base after the season-ending injury to Tristan Casas. And he said, nah, bro. Me? No. Me, I'm a third baseman. Or at least I was. He said he's not willing to go to first base now for the Red Sox. So I cannot get rid of Ben Rice. Like I said, he is a Yankee fan today, tomorrow, forever. Grew up a Yankee fan. He has been so great for us. He's a part of the young, part of this team, the NYY young boys, the Yankee youngsters. I'm not trading Ben Rice. Trade some farm people. Trade some Spencer Jones, sure. If you want to get rid of Spencer Jones, do that. Because like I said, Spencer Jones probably blocked. And I'm not thinking about Sandy Alcantara right now. Honestly, I'm thinking about this Yankee rotation right now. Are we going to see Alan Wynand soon? Like, what's the deal with that? Carlos Carrasco is with the Rail Riders. You know, the Yankees, we have Max Fried Day that you're confident in. We finally feel better now about Carlos Rodon. But Will Warren is an issue. And luckily, Will Warren will pitch in a minor league ballpark tomorrow against the Oakland A's late. I'll be on tomorrow after Lou Gower till 9:25. So like a 2.5 hour show leading into the Yankees. But then, you know, Will Warren will pitch. Rodon will pitch. And then it's TBD on Sunday. Is that Ryan Yarbrough's spot? Is that what we're doing there? Like, those are the issues right now. As far as trading for an ace at the deadline, that's another thing. Cashman's not pulling the trigger on that right now. That's something that's going to happen in July, late July, July 31st, probably at like 3 p.m., 10:35 p.m., Keith McPherson on the Fan. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. There's some interesting calls. Let's go to David out on Long Island as we're talking about trades.
Hey, Keith, what's going on?
Having a good time talking to everybody on the live stream, live on air, taking calls, watching this game a little bit, you know, passing time.
Yeah. Well, listen, what would you say like your most, your favorite sport is, or your most knowledgeable sport is?
Most people say I don't know ball at all online. They're like, this guy doesn't know anything about sports. So I don't know. I can't call it. I think I know a little bit about all of them.
Okay. All right. Well, I called in like 6 months ago, and I said, you know what? When you first came on the air, I wasn't crazy about you. Then, like, you grew on me. I'm like, this guy's good. But you know what? You became a little bit of a homer, in my opinion, and that's just my opinion. All right? And
for which team?
My teams are the Mets, the Islanders, the Cowboys, and the Knicks.
You said I'm a homer, so I'm a homer for the Yankees probably, right?
Yeah. Like, you know, I'm just saying to, like, it's cool, but I'm just saying to you, like, do you want to escalate? Like, you want to climb the ladder? Like, I think you should be a little bit more, like, political about things. Like, you have a big New York fan base, I was going to say. Then you had a call, like, a few times ago, which, like, he's, like, sitting up, the tough guy going, this guy did this, I'll do that. Listen, if it's one thing we've learned, Keith, and you and I both know this, and so that list you Pickens, and I just wanted to know what your thoughts are on that, because he seems to be like a problem.
Oh man, we already dumped you because you dropped the F bomb. Your call sucks, and you know, like I miss what you were saying or what you were trying to say. Can you articulate it without cursing? Like, it's one thing to go from, you know, me being a homer to trying to, like, I don't know, tell me something about, no matter how tough I am, there's always somebody tougher. This isn't about being tough. What are you talking about?
Okay, well, no. You had a caller a few times ago, like about 15 minutes ago, who called in and said, like, you know, if he made, like, he said he would be a tough guy, like, you know, you're good. Like, if you, listen, if someone, you, as tough as you think you are, there's always somebody tougher than you. You could ask Mike Tyson that. But I'm not going to get into that.
We're talking about fighting. We're talking about boxing. We're talking about fisticuffs.
We're talking about in general, like being tough. Like this guy, like who called a few times ago, like 10 minutes ago, he's talking to you about, hey, if it was me, I would handle it differently. This and that. You know, we don't need that on the air. Number one. But
all right, now I got to put you on hold, bro, because like you're just like you just you got some of y'all are just I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know what you're on tonight. It started with a caller a couple hours ago that just was super aggressive and negative and nasty towards me, basically saying I can't talk about my family on air and like the show is KM to AM and I have this shift because of like I really don't even know where it was coming from. And so the caller you're referencing, like David, and you're still on hold, but like you just I don't know what you're trying to get across, so let me handle it. Let me handle the talking. What the caller was saying was like, you know, people are negative and nasty like that online and on air because they're protected by a phone or by a screen. And what I went on to say is everybody I meet is nice. Everybody I meet is friendly. And I'm nice and friendly too. But like people don't approach me with that negativity. Like you just dropped an F-bomb and told me to shut the F up and that like, no matter how tough I think I am, there's always somebody tougher, and you referred to Mike Tyson. Like, what are we talking about, bro? It's 10:40 at night on a Thursday night on The Fan. I'm hosting a show, and like, not for nothing, like, I'm not worried about any of y'all, and I'm not worried about anybody checking me. So like, if that's what you're trying to say, like, I'm good. Like, if we keep it a buck, like, I'm not worried about any of that tough guy stuff either. Like, you're not scaring anybody. Like, like, keep it to the sports. Like, I clicked on your phone call because we were talking about a Sandy Alcantara trade, and your topic was about the George Pickens trade to the Dallas Cowboys. You start off saying that I'm a homer, and then you list the teams you like. Like, what are y'all on tonight? Y'all smoking the Za? The Knicks are off. Y'all having some brews? Like, if you hate me, if you don't like me, why are you putting so much energy into this? So can we start the call over again, David? And you sound like an older guy, right? Like, if you want to fight me, that's one thing. But I'm not trying to fight anybody. Do you not hear how I take these calls, how nice I am to everybody? Like, I don't understand where this energy is coming from. But, like, at the same time, I welcome it. So let's start over again, man. Like, let's just get to, like leave all that other stuff out of it. Like, I get it, bro. Like, just stick to the sports. Hit me with your sports topic. And, like, don't tell me about trying to, like, ascend or climb the ladder or how I got to be. I don't know you. You know me, though. Like, I don't know what you do or where you're from or whatever. So, like, I'm not trying to take any of your advice. Let's keep it to what you called on the topic sports-wise. Because you didn't tell any of this to my producer. So, just let's start this over again. I'm going to say your name, where you're from, and then you tell me what you want to talk about sports-wise, and I'll get you up out of here. David, out in Long Island, on Long Island again, on The Fan. David, just go for it, bro.
Hey, but listen, I respect the fact that you came back to me. You're a good man.
Yeah, I'm not worried. This is like, I don't know you, bro. This is a radio. I'm taking calls. But it's like, it's wild disrespect. And it's like, what did I do to bring that type of energy on? Just keep it to the sports.
Yeah. But I did not mean to offend you in any way or threaten any way.
Dropped the F-bomb. You told me to shut the F up. And then you said,
I wasn't talking about you. I am tough.
And like, I'm not trying to take it there. I'm hosting my show. Like, yeah. Like, bro, it's not, it's a waste of time. Let me get a sip of water. But it makes for good radio. And the people in the live chat are loving it. It's entertaining, right? This is what we got to do to fill time. This is New York. And you know what? I guess because the Knicks are playing tough. Everybody's tough now. I guess because the Knicks are up 2-0. We don't know how to act now. I guess it's me, right? I try to treat everybody with respect. You know, the great Steve Summers was in here a couple nights ago. And he hit me with two H words. And he says he listens to my show. And he says it's your humbleness and your humanity. And I'm telling you, I almost teared up talking to Steve. Somebody that I admire and has been gracious. And he's like, I listen to your show. And you're so humble about, like, yourself and how you talk to callers and what you know and what you don't know and even your story and how you got here and all this stuff. Like, you always say you're blessed and you're thankful and all. Like, that comes across great, Keith. And then he's like, your humanity, how you treat people. Like, we know what type of person you are. But clearly, Steve, if you're out there listening, they don't. Some of these people got me effed up. Some of these people got me confused. Let me pick. I hit the eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and I picked the wrong call. Let me go to Brian in Brooklyn on the fan. Hopefully we could do better.
Hey, Keith. How are you?
I'm good. I'm having a good time. I guess some people aren't tonight, though.
Sounds a little entertaining. I wanted to discuss the lack of accountability in regards to Brian Cashman. And I want you to hear me out and, you know, tell me if you agree with me or not. I understand, you know, he took the Yankees to the World Series last year. They won World Series with the Yankees, you know, quite a few times. And it seems like he'll be 80 years old and he still will have the GM job. He can't do any wrong. I'm just looking at the Miami Marlins. You know, it was actually interesting. Two calls ago, someone brought up the Miami Marlins. And there's a player right now in the Miami Marlins by the name of Augustin Ramirez, who was traded by Brian Cashman for Jazz Chisholm Jr. And right now it looks like Augustin Ramirez is going crazy out there. And he just had his debut.
Good start for him. I'm paying attention. Yep, go on.
He had a crazy start, and it seems like we got the injury-prone Jazz Chisholm, 190 batting average, who just seems like he only hits for power. And I understand he's got speed. I understand he's got the other attributes. And there's also a big part of the other trade also was with Jared Serna, who was also a big key. And I watched these guys when they were in single A with Hudson Valley, and I watched them live. And, you know, I was very excited because I really thought one day they would get called up. But it seems like if you're a Yankee prospect, your dream is to not be in the organization because the odds of you getting called up is slim to none. You got to really, really break out in the minors. So, you know, players such as Volpe and Dominguez, it took some time for them to get called up. And even then, you know, obviously they haven't met their expectations. But there's just so many trades I feel that he's not being held accountable for. We can go with the Frankie Montas trade. That was a complete disaster. You know, J.P. Sears is pitching really, really well.
Brian, not to cut you off, because, I mean, you know, I know, and I know the Yankee fans know all of the, you know, different transactions, but how would one Brian Cashman be held accountable?
I mean, it just seems like every year Hal just gives him a free pass. I mean, the fans are always, you know, complaining and saying, you know, these trades are being brought up and are trying to be, you know, brought into Hal's, you know, picture. But Hal, it just seems like Brian Cashman gets an exemption every single year, regardless. I mean, they could fall in last place. They could fall in last place this year.
But they're in first place right now. And thanks for the call, Brian. And I'm not trying to be, you know, and I know Big Mac gets this all the time, a Cashman shill. And I'm not trying to be a Cashman defender. But, like, that's why I asked the question. How would he be held accountable? You know, 2 years ago, the fans tried to hold him accountable and sell Fire Cashman shirts and have a Fire Cashman night and put up some type of, like, petition to, like, get him out of office. And what did he do? He embraced the Martian. He called up Jason Dominguez, and then we got the, you know, the Baby Bomber 2.0 with Austin Wells and Everson Pereira and Oswald Peraza, and it was like, okay, whatever. You know, lost season, and Judge ran into the wall. It is what it is. They were in the World Series last year. He did make the trade to get Juan Soto, and after not re-signing Juan Soto, he did make a lot of moves that have this team in first place right now, potentially being the best team in the American League again. Like, there's no way to hold him accountable. They're not firing him. Because if you fire Brian Cashman, I've said this joke a bunch of times, if Hal Steinbrenner was to fire Brian Cashman, he would have to rehire Brian Cashman to help him hire the next guy. He would need his insight. He would need to know where all the bodies are buried and all of the secrets. He would need Brian Cashman to help hire the next GM. So I know as Yankee fans, we are obsessed. And like you mentioned Augustin Ramirez. I was waiting for you to say we have J.C. Ascara as the backup. Luis Torrens is with the Mets. Like, we didn't have a catcher for a little while. A couple years back, we had Ben Roethlisberger catching for us. Like, we know. We see some of the moves that don't go this way, but it's an inexact science, and I think Brian Cashman does way more good than bad. And, like, hold him accountable. The Yankees they're doing great business. They just celebrated 50 million fans at the stadium. 50 million paid visitors since 2009. I was at the game last night, 42,000 plus. That was the game of the year. Had a good time. This team has some good players. They have the best player in the league. He doesn't get any credit for Aaron Judge. He doesn't get any credit for Judge, and I get it. Like, I mean, I don't know. There's no way to hold him accountable, and it's not so bad. We were in the World Series last year. I had fun going to the World Series. It sucked how it ended and how it played out. Yeah, I know, but let's hope that this year is different. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Will in Jersey on the Fan next. Hello, Will. What you thinking?
Hey, how you doing, Keith?
Good.
I just wanted to talk to you about the Mets series coming up. Me personally, and I believe that every other Yankees fan thinks the same way. You know, we got Oakland and the A's and the Mariners coming up. You know, I'm not really thinking about that. I'm worried really about Friday night in the Bronx, mainly because, you know, like you said with the Knicks, it's going to be a festival on the streets for that game. But I really think that it's going to be a festival in the Bronx for that game with Juan Soto coming back, the Mets coming to town, night game on a Friday.
Let's sweep them.
I want to know what you think.
Let's sweep the Mets then.
I want some get back.
I mean, we got swept last year, right? Sorry, let me not say we. I sound like a Yankee homer. That's going to upset somebody. They're going to call the fan and get tough with me. But, like, the Yankees were swept by the Mets last year in the regular season, and that still gets held over our head. I'm excited for Friday because that's our first opportunity to be like, shut up. That doesn't count anymore.
Yeah, and if they beat us, you know, it's like their World Series.
But we know it's not the World Series. We know they haven't won a World Series since
exactly
1986. We know they haven't been to one in a decade. Like, so what? Like, I cannot wait for that game. I cannot wait. I was on Foul Territory today. You know, free plug for those guys. They do a great show. And they asked, they're like, what's the scene going to be like in Yankee Stadium? You go to a lot of games. I'm like, it is going to be a circus. There's going to be a little bit of everything. It is going to be wild. I'm like, I might show up there at like 2 or 3 o'clock because the traffic is going to be insane. Like, if you show up there at 6 o'clock, good luck trying to get in, trying to park, trying to, you know, get food or do any of that. And I'm like, it is going to be the best baseball environment in the country. It's going to, like, rivalry week, they're calling it. Juan Soto's return to Yankee Stadium. It's up. It's going to be electric. And I can't wait to see it. I'm not afraid of it. Am I a little nervous that, like, you know, not for nothing, I said this. Stanton came out during that Diamondback series and told the team, we don't get swept at home. And my mind immediately went zoop. What if the Mets come here and sweep us? And that was a long way to go. But I'm like, don't put stuff out there like we don't get swept at home. Because, like, the Mets swept us at home last year. The Reds swept us at home last year. Like,
I have a good feeling about it. I mean, I have a good feeling it's going to be a great atmosphere. It's going to feel like a playoff game.
Yeah, I want to actually line up the pitching. I didn't think about that yet. I want to know who's pitching. I gotta, you know, maybe during a break, like, do the math and
I'm gonna keep listening. I was really interested in doing that too, and I was gonna do it, but I was like, oh, you know what? I don't know, but I'll hear out for that. Thank you, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Will. Yeah, see, you know, call me up if you've got some trepidation, you've got some worries, you've got some nervousness about the Subway Series. Like, I'll tell you, like, you know what I just told you. Like, don't you want the opportunity to step right up and beat the Mets as a Yankee fan? Mets fans, don't you want the opportunity to beat the Yankees again and extend that regular season streak? Aren't you hoping to see a Juan Soto homer? Aren't you hoping that Juan Soto hits two homers? Maybe you're going to the game and you want to take over the building. I remember saying last year that was the worst game. What was it, like 13-2? I'm like, that was worse than watching the Astros come here and beat us in the postseason. I'm like, that was terrible. You know, some of the negativity and anger and frustration that a couple callers have had towards me, I was seeing Met fans and Yankee fans having that type of back and forth in the seats last year. You shut up. No, you shut the F up. You're not tough. I'm like, oh, man, it's getting crazy out here. It's getting crazy out here. This is New York. It's a lot of that. There's a lot of that. This is a tough place to make it. Tough place to live. Tough place to be. You got to be tough. 888-808-1019. Anybody want to talk about the Knicks? Because we're allowed to. We can go back to the Knicks. Yeah, let's get another Nick call in. But now I know I opened it for baseball and for Mets and Yankees. We're, tomorrow, a week away from the Subway Series. And, you know, everybody's already skipping over the Cubs and the Pirates and the the A's and the Mariners because we know it's on. That's the heavyweight fight live from New York. Jay in North Jersey on the fan. You got it.
KM, hope you got better guys to screen the call. Some of these Long Island guys.
Nah, Connor knows. See, Connor knows. I've told Connor because Connor screened a few of these knuckleheads over time. I'm like, send the smoke. I'm like, don't shield me from this. Send them my way.
Okay. I gotcha. So, two points to touch on. First off, on the Knicks, some true gritty Knicks fans got to understand we got away with two games. You know, Boston 25 for 100 and three-pointers. I can't even count that high to shoot that many threes. Like, they got away with two ugly wins. You know, they got to count their blessings and play some ball. Yeah, we got some guys, McCallion Stallion, they're calling them, Big Body Brunson. You know, it's great. It's going to be live on Saturday, but you know, the job is not even a quarter of the way done. We're trying to knock out these Celtics. You know, that's something everybody's got to realize. Yeah, we're happy. There's blessings. There's celebrations. The job's not even a quarter of the way done to knock these guys out. That's kind of my point on the Knicks and want to touch on the Yankees, but want to hear your thoughts with that.
Yeah, that's kind of where I arrived at today. And when I did my open, I repeated probably 20 times, the Knicks have to win this series now. And that's me alluding to, like, it's not over. You're up two games, and now you're not the underdogs. It's not over. There's no more participation trophy. There's no more good job. Like, now that you're up, you got to finish your food. Now that you're up, you can't let this slip away. Like, you have to advance now. And it's not going to be easy. Like, this team is not going to go quietly into the night. If they do, I'll be surprised.
Yeah, and then on the Yankee point, nobody's talking about this, KM. I want you to start to bring it up now before we get to the series. I'm going to guarantee on that Friday, manager's decision, Soto don't take the field against the Bleachers Creatures. He'll be a DH. He will not take the field. $765 million with no balls. He's not going to take the field with the Bleacher Creatures, or there'll be heightened security. I'm telling you now for that game.
Thanks for the call, Jay. There will be heightened security. I know a lot of security in Yankee Stadium. They'll be ready. They're gonna have a meeting about it, and they don't need to meet about it. They know what time it is, and just don't go to the stadium and be too drunk and be a goofy and do anything to get yourself in trouble. And shout out to for the first time, I actually saw the precinct in Yankee Stadium. Shout out to the folks that I met there two Fridays ago. I was like, I used to tell people there's a Yankee jail. I never thought I'd see it, but I was escorted. Shout out to the NYPD at Yankee Stadium. I think you're completely wrong about that. The same way I said to Connor, don't ever shield me from like angry or negative or nasty callers. And a lot of these callers don't call it with that energy. They wait on hold for an hour and then they're tough. Then they want to do that. But yeah, the same way I told Connor, don't shield me. Carlos Mendoza's not shielding Juan Soto from that. Why would he do that? Why would he DH Juan Soto? You got other guys. You got a DH one and two. Juan Soto played a whole season in right field last year in Yankee Stadium. He should be comfortable there. He should make every play there, no matter what is said about him, no matter what any signs say, no matter if they boo him, no matter if they turn their back to him or whatever. It's going to be all good. It'll be a great time. Friday night in the Boogie Down. Keith McPherson on the fan. Last hour of my show coming up. And when we come back, we'll do the big shot of the night, open mic time, and yeah, I don't know. We'll figure out, you know, what the pitching matchup will look like. We'll try and count the days to get to next Friday, Saturday, Sunday. This is fun. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.